Well, let's stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. All right, look there at verse 5. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Peter, unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?
Thank you, Brother Chandler. Last Sunday, I preached about the little Jewish girl who was the true hero in the story of Naaman the Syrian, who was a leper, but because of her simple childlike faith, was made whole again. And this morning, we're going to look at another child who stepped forward and was used of God. This time, the hero of our story is a little boy, a little lad, who put some grown men to shame with his simple childlike faith, childish faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the song that little is much if God is in it. And that's so true. God seems to delight and specialize in doing big things with small things. God uses little people. God uses little places. And God uses little things. If you get nothing out of the message this morning but this, please get this one thought. That anyone can be used of God to do something great. Any one of us can be used of God to do something that is great. God wants to do great things in your life, and God wants to do great things through your life. And the only thing hindering Him from doing so is our lack of faith, our unwillingness to obey, and our unwillingness to give Him what we have. God does not use us because He can't do it Himself. Fact is, God can do anything. And if God wanted things to just happen, they'd happen. God has 100 million angels on His Rolodex. If He wanted to, He could call up any one of them and tell them to do anything that we would be doing this morning. But instead, God chooses to use us as His servants. To be used of God to keep a soul out of hell, to teach the Bible, to preach the gospel, to reach a mission field, to start a church, to run a bus route, to teach a Sunday school class. There is nothing greater or with greater impact that a person should desire than to be used of God to do something to the glory of His name. I wish that everyone in this room, from the smallest child to the oldest adult, would realize that the God of heaven put you here for a reason, and God desires to do something through your life. God is not limited by what you have. But God does need what you have. God is not limited by what you are. But He does need you. Who you are. For His work and for His glory. God can do far more with your life than you could ever dream possible. And if you would simply give your life to Him, you'd be amazed in the years to come what He accomplishes with so little. Now, all 4 Gospels record the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus looked out over that multitude of people. Some say that there probably were some women and children there. If so, there might have been 15 or 20,000 people assembled in that grassy field. We know there were at least 5,000 men. Jesus had compassion on them, and He asked Philip, Philip, what can we do to feed the multitude? Well, I like Philip, but Philip's real rational, amen? And so Philip takes his calculator out. He pulled out his new iPhone. No, he's a preacher. He's got his old Android phone. And he pulls up his calculator. And he's running the numbers. And he's figuring out how many people there are. And he's multiplying how much bread they would need. And he's dividing it by the cost at the grocery store. And finally, his ribbon just keeps running out of his calculator. And finally, he comes back to the Lord and he says, well, Lord, even if we had 200 penny worth of bread, it wouldn't be enough for even each person to get just a little bit. Well, you gotta love people that count the numbers, amen? And by the way, there's a place for calculators in the church. You know, we're coming up on 15 years, and 15 years we paid every bill. We have excellent credit. We try to make wise decisions. In times of plenty, we get things done and we put stuff away because there's always a lean time. We're going to need something in storage, amen, in the storehouse. And I think that churches sometimes they spend themselves into debt because they think they're living by faith when actually they're living by folly. So there's a place for a calculator in the church. And there's a place for accountability in the church. And there's a place to figure out if we can afford things or not. It would be good for all of us to figure that out, amen. But there's also a time to live by faith. And when Jesus asks you, how can we feed the multitude? Let me give you the answer. The answer you should give Jesus in that situation is, Lord, Thou knowest. Because anything else, you don't know. Amen. But instead, he says, Lord, there's not enough. We don't have enough money. I checked the treasury. Judas said we don't have enough money. We don't have enough bread. The grocery store is way across on the other side of the mountain. And even if we had 200 penny worth, it wouldn't be enough. And we don't have 200 penny worth. It can't be done, is what Philip's final analysis was. Well, the Lord wants to feed the multitude. Can I tell you that Jesus didn't ask Philip because he needed Philip's input? He needed Philip's faith. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He knew what the plan was. And yet Philip, because he's looking at it rationally and with a calculator and it doesn't add up, Philip says that it can't be done, but it could be done, and the 5,000 were fed, but they were fed through the faith of a little boy, a little lad. Now this morning, I want you to consider four great thoughts from this story. Notice first, the little lad. Now, all four Gospels record the feeding of the 5,000, but only John records the presence of the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus. Now, I kind of picture this little guy with his lunchbox. Anyone still carry a lunchbox? My goodness, what is wrong with our young people today that they don't carry a lunchbox? When I was a kid, I had a lunchbox. I had several. The one I remember was an A-team lunchbox. And it was black and had a red stripe and a red handle for the black truck van they drove, and had the A-team on the front, you know, Hannibal and Face and B.A. and all. I'm sorry, am I getting too spiritual for y'all? And I remember one time I had a Spider-Man lunchbox, you know. And I always carried my lunch to school in a lunchbox. Now then I got too big and the lunchbox wasn't big enough. But I just pictured this little boy had his lunchbox. And he's standing somewhere close to the Lord Jesus. He hears Jesus ask Nathan. He watches Nathan running through his computers. Nathan doesn't know. Then there's Andrew here, and then the little lad. And the little lad pulls on Andrew's jacket and says, he can have my lunch. Oh, thanks, kid. Man, you're a lifesaver. Let's see what you got. He opens it up. He's got five little barley loaves, which would be like having five hot dog buns. Five little barley loaves and two little fishes. Now, they had two kinds of fish that they ate back then. One was a tilapia, which you can still buy at the store, and the other was sardines. And the little fish were sardines. So he's got in his lunchbox five hot dog buns and two sardines. He doesn't even have enough sardines to make five sardine sandwiches. And he gives it to Andrew. Andrew opens it up. So, oh, here's some. He says, Lord, here. This little boy said you could have his lunch. And he said, but what are they among so many? His faith starts out so strong, and then he starts to look around, just like you and I would. Two sardines, that's not even enough for me, much less everybody else. You know what the Lord did? He said, that's all I need, thank you. And he took the lunchbox, and we'll get to the rest in a second. Now, in this story, we see what God can do with one person that is yielded to Him. That's all God needs. Is one person yielded to Him. God did not need someone to pull up a semi-truck full of Mrs. Baird's bread and fried fish. He only needed this boy to give what he had. And this little guy stepped up to the plate, he stood in the gap, and he was used of God to bless 5,000 men. We see what God can do with one person who has yielded to Him. One person yielded to Him. I heard a wise older preacher say this. He said, know yourself, accept yourself, be yourself to the glory of God. I wrote that in the back of my Bible. He said, know yourself, accept yourself, be yourself to the glory of God. It was a blessing to me at that time to realize that God didn't want me to be someone I cannot be. But He wanted me to be me for His glory. He wanted me to be what He wanted me to be. My heroes were all great men. I still believe in having heroes. I don't think you ought to worship them, but I think you ought to have someone you look up to that causes you to strive to do better. Amen? If I was a football player, I played quarterback, I'd watch someone other than Tony Romo today. I don't know. I'd watch who is the best, and I would imitate them. I wouldn't worship them, and they wouldn't come between me and God, but I'd have my hero. And when I was a young preacher, I had my heroes, and they were all great men. And Brother Smith, he'll be here in 2 weeks. He was a hero. He is a hero of mine. And when I was a young preacher, I would try to imitate him, and I'd imitate his motions, and I'd imitate his actions, and I would try to imitate his voice inflections, and things like that. And you know what I found out? I found out that there's some things that, yes, I can imitate, but I can't be him. I can't be him. And some of the dumbest mistakes I made early in my ministry was when I tried to imitate him, but I couldn't get away with it because I wasn't him. God made me to be me, and God made you to be you. And you ought to know yourself, and you ought to accept yourself, and you ought to be yourself to the glory of God. Now, I am who I am, and what's more, I am who God wanted. That doesn't mean that I don't need to conform to the Bible. Here's what we have today, people say, with the self-esteem movement. Well, yeah, I may be a lazy bum and I don't do anything, but hey, I'm me and I like me. Well, you know what? We ought to all be growing and conforming to the image of Jesus Christ and living out the Bible and doing what the Bible says. God doesn't accept sin or folly or stupidity, but He does accept me and He does accept you and He does want to use me and He does want to use you and He did call me and He wants to call you and He does have something for me to do and He does have something for you to do that He doesn't have for anyone else to do, but that's your job in life to do for Him. Be yourself for God. Know yourself. Jesus didn't expect this little guy to be Andrew and do what Andrew could do, but it would have been nice if Andrew had done what he did. Amen? Accept yourself. You know what I learned to accept, boys and girls? I learned to accept that I'm a nerd and that's okay. Brother Dart is too. Now when I was a kid, I hated being a nerd. I hated being the outsider. I hated being picked on. I got into weightlifting in high school. They stopped picking on me as much, but they still picked on me some. I hated being a nerd. Do you know what you call a nerd when you grow up? Sir. But I've accepted that I'm a nerd. I was preaching at youth camp this year. And the main speaker, Brother Dingham, football star, you know, had college offers. That was the fastest anyone ever came in and left church. Came in and gone, 2 minutes. Anyway, he was a football star, had college offers and everything. And so he's preaching each night and he's describing how, you know, his high school football career and all this stuff. And I got up to preach the next morning and I said, folks, I thank God for all these great testimonies of these athletes and stuff, but I just have to admit, I was just a loser. I was just a loser. The capital L. But you know what? God loves losers and God loves nerds. And God has a place and God has a purpose for our lives. God has something He wants us to do. And, you know, I got to thinking about how I don't preach out very often, but you know, I do preach all over the place. Because what I've done, what God has allowed me to do is sit and write things and write books and materials that other preachers take and they preach them in their churches. And 2 colleges now using my materials. And preachers in different places that have started churches and they'll send me an email and say, hey, I used your little book on church planning. It really was a help to me. So, sitting down and being able to sit down at a computer and actually put words on paper as a nerd actually is something God can use, isn't it? Sure is. And so you got to learn that God has a place for you and God has a purpose for you. And you ought to dedicate yourself to the glory of God. And if you say, all I have is a couple of barley loaves and some fishes. Well, brother, that's all God needs. Just give Him what you have. This little lad had four things Jesus could use. Number one, he had concern. He saw what Jesus saw. He saw the hungry multitudes. He wanted to help. He had compassion. He was willing to give something of himself. Boy, a lot of folks have compassion until it actually gets near their wallet. And all of a sudden their compassion dries up. He had confidence. He knew the Lord could do something. And he had enough courage to step forward and get involved in the problem. And mostly I think this little boy just wanted to be involved. Hey, these things are happening. What can I do to help? I want to help out. Here's my lunch. And Jesus took it and did a great miracle. So we see first the little lad. He was just a little boy, but his life affected thousands of people. Well, I'd like to, you know, I tell you, it wouldn't bother me if I got to the end of my life and found out that 5,000 people have been saved through my ministry. Wouldn't that be a pretty good investment? How about you? Secondly, the light lunch. He only had a small lunch, but he gave all that he had to Jesus. We've discussed 5 little loaves, 2 little fish. Jesus didn't need a semi-truck. He didn't need to call Domino's. He didn't need McDonald's to deliver. He needed someone to have some faith. Bring what you have to Jesus and let Him use what you have. Jesus does not come to me asking me to match what others have, but He does want what I have. Don't look at your lunchbox and your 5 little barley loaves and 2 fishes and say like Andrew did, what is this among so many? Why don't you look and see, this is something that I have that I can give to the Lord. I was listening to a preacher one time and he was discussing how Elisha came to the little widow's house and he asked her for something to eat. She said, I've got nothing except a little meal. And the preacher said, well, then you got something. Right? You got something. Oh, I got nothing, she said, except this little bit of meal. Now you got something. And God took that little bit that she had and multiplied it. So they ate all the way through the famine. And she started out by saying, I don't have anything. Oh, but you have something. And how many of us, we look at our lives and we say, I just don't have anything to give. There's nothing that I can do. There's no way that I can make a difference. There's nothing that I can offer God but except this. Well, then give Him that. If that's all you have, then give Him that. Notice that Jesus took it. Verse 11. Jesus took the loaves. I kind of think that when Andrew... You ever been around a group of preachers? I think when Andrew took that little lunchbox and he said, Lord, here this little boy's got some loaves and fishes. I kind of think that some of the other guys in the background kind of went and snickered. Kind of like some people do in the back row when I'm preaching sometimes. And I think they kind of laughed. And I think that's when Andrew kind of said, well, what are they among so many? But you know what, Jesus? He wasn't disturbed by these guys. He wasn't disturbed by the littleness of the offering. He wasn't even disturbed really by the wavering faith of Andrew. He saw the little boy, he saw the lunch, and he took what was offered. He took it. Folks, you don't have to worry about Jesus turning you down. He's hard up for help. He's so desperate for help, He'll even take us. There's not that many people really willing to serve the Lord these days. Now, in the lad's hands, his lunch was pitiful. But in the Lord's hands, it was plentiful. In my hands, my life might be pretty pitiful. In the Lord's hands, it can be very plentiful. Notice thirdly, the loads of leftovers. Now Jesus blessed it, verse number 16. Verse 11 says, when he had given thanks, Luke 9:16 says he blessed them. And let me remind you that these were not magic loaves and fishes. Y'all still with me this morning? Nothing magic about these loaves and fishes. It wasn't a magic trick that Jesus performed. It wasn't that his mom had put too much yeast in and just kept growing and multiplying. It was the fact that Jesus had blessed what was given to him. Folks, there's one thing. Listen, there's one thing we need more than anything else at Lighthouse Baptist Church. What you need in your Sunday school class, what we need on our bus routes, what we need in our soul winning, what we need in our music program, what I need in my family, what you need in your family. The one thing we need more than anything else is the blessing of Jesus Christ upon us. The blessing of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm thankful for our mission church up in Anna. I've done everything I could to help Brother Absher get off to the best possible start. Our church gave very sacrificially to help them get off to a good start. Our goal was to raise $20,000, and through other churches and our church, we raised over $20,000 as a war chest to get this church started. And there's more support going to come in soon. But I did his tracks, I did his flyers, I did this, we did this, they bought all their stuff, they had all their things together, they have a church name, a church sign, and hymnals, and a Bible, and all those things, but there's one thing that I can't give him, there's one thing you can't give him, there's one thing that he can't buy online or buy at the store, that he has to have for Providence Baptist Church to succeed. He's got to have the blessing of God on it. And I think sometimes we think, man, if I just do A, B, and C, all of a sudden it's just going to work. And we forget that we need God's blessing. We're not just a machine. We're not a factory churning out things. We've got to have God's blessings. Got to have God's blessings. Jesus took the little offering. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He touched them and gave thanks to God for them. He blessed them, and all of a sudden things started happening. Now, think about this, that He did not bless this until it was given. Now, suppose the boy had been standing there with his 18 lunchbox, and he's thinking, man, I'd like to help, but I don't know how I can help. All of a sudden, his lunchbox popped open, and bread just flying out like popcorn. It's just multiplying, spilling over, fishes, you know, leaping out. And he's like, all of a sudden, wow, you know what? Since this is happening, I bet I can feed 5,000 people because it's just pouring out of the lunchbox. Now that it's happening here, that's not how it works. He had to give it first. Jesus had to bless it, and then all of a sudden it's multiplying to feed 5,000. So often we say, man, if I just had what I needed, I would surrender. And man, if things were just falling into place, I'd give to the Lord. Man, I would tithe if I had it, but you won't tithe on what you got. You're waiting for things to multiply, but you won't even put your offering down in the plate. And we want God to do things when we have not offered ourselves willingly. We want God to bless what we are and what we have, but we're not willing to put it on the altar and give it to the Lord first before He blesses it. We find in the Bible that there are blessings and requirements. Before God gives the blessing, you've got to meet the requirement. Give and it shall be given unto you. Boy, when people start giving to me, I'll give back to the Lord. God says, give first, then He'll give back. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Well, when God starts giving me all these things, then I'll seek Him first. No, you seek Him first, and then things are added to you. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, saith the Lord, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Well, if God would rebuke the devourer and things would quit going wrong, then I'll start tithing. Why don't you start tithing, and then God rebukes the devourer? We want God to multiply the fish who has fallen out of our lunchbox, but we're not willing to give it to Him first with an act of faith. God always has a requirement on our side before He gives the blessing on His side. In verse 10, Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples then that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, you know what this was? It was an all-you-can-eat. Doesn't say when they had some. Mr. Rasburn and I, we go on Monday nights, we go visiting prospects and those who visit the church, and we turned it into a date night. And so Monday night, we went and made some visits, and then we went to try to find some place to eat in town, which, you know, once you've gone to Taco Delight, McDonald's, I mean, Chili's, that's about it most of the time. So we went to this hibachi place. Now, I'm not a big hibachi. I'm not that kind of person. I'm a Baptist, amen. I'm a Christian. But we went to this hibachi place. And because she wanted to. And so the guy, he's flipping things all over the place, you know. And And he's chopping it up and throwing food at the kids and things like that. And we ate, spent a lot of money on that meal. And we left. You know what I said? I'm still hungry. I'm still hungry. Next time let's go to CC's. It's half the price, but I'm full. I love all you can eat. And Jesus, when he feeds us, folks, he doesn't give us a little French meal with a big plate and a little bit of food in the middle. He fed them till they were filled. They had all they could eat. And brother, when Jesus blesses us, it satisfies. I've been serving the Lord for over two decades. And I tell you something, folks, it satisfies. He has left no unsatisfaction in my life. He always fills those that come to Him. And so five loaves and two fishes wouldn't even be one grown man's meal. And yet Jesus fed 5,000 men. What could God do with your life if you would just give Him all? Notice verse 12. When they were filled, He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now when I first read that, I thought, that's kind of gross. What do I want some guys' leftovers for? I just pictured the disciples going from person to person. They're like shaking their crumbs off their plate and stuff. And then I began pastoring and we'd have afterglows and dinners and stuff. And I realized there's always a lot of leftovers when we're done. Am I right? We line up our little plastic tables and put all our plates out and stuff and everyone eats all that they want to. And then we come back and Mrs. Raspberry and I will load a bunch of the stuff up and some of you will take some stuff. We'll go home. We'll eat it for lunch tomorrow. Didn't come off someone's plate. It just no one ate it. And I have no doubt that some of those men were so hungry, they said, man, I think I could take 10 of those. I'll take 10. And they took their plate, and they went back over here, and they started eating, and they ate 4 of them and had 6 left over. Just like kids when they go through the line, right? Got a kid this tall, and his plate's this tall. And so the disciples went around, and here's all this extra food, and they're just piling it in. And guess what? At the end, this little boy, folks, he had one lunch box about this big that had 5 little loaves and a couple of fishes. And at the end, he's got all 12 apostles following him home with baskets full of good food for him to eat the rest of the week. The Lord always gives back when we give to Him. You can't outgive the Lord. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. God always gives back more than you started when you gave to Him. The Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And one preacher said, it'll come back buttered. Amen. Just cast your bread upon the water, and it'll come back in the Lord's timing. Just keep on giving your life to the Lord. Just give it to the Lord. And God will give you tons of leftovers that you would never have had otherwise. And the Lord's leftovers are pretty good stuff. Well, one final thought, the lesson learned. What is the lesson from this? Well, I summarize it in one sentence, that faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. The Lord said, how are we going to feed all these people? John's gospel says He said they asked us to prove Him. Philip said, not possible. Can't be done. No faith. Andrew said, well, here's a boy. He's got his lunch. He said, he wants to give his lunch, but then he said, but what is that among so many? He had a wobbly faith. Wasn't stable. It's the kind of faith we sometimes have. You're sitting in the pew this morning saying, I'm fired up. I'd like to give my life to the Lord. And then at the time of decision, it's like, well, no. And the one that had the faith was the little lad. He's the one who was the hero. He had the childish faith. And he's the one that got to take home the leftovers. Can you imagine? Little boy left home that morning. Where are you going today, Johnny? Huh? I heard Jesus is over here. I'm going to go see what's going on. Okay, here's your lunch. He takes his little A-team lunchbox. He goes off, sees the miracle. Gets to be around Jesus. Pretty exciting, huh? All of this, later that evening, his mom looks out the front door. Here comes Johnny home with his little lunchbox. He's got 12 grown men behind him. All 12 apostles. Each of them has a basket. And the bread back. Mom says, what is this? Oh, Mom, I gave my lunch to Jesus and He took it and He fed 5,000 men and He said I could have all the leftovers. Pretty exciting, huh? Blessed His whole family. And I just want you to realize, folks, that faith is the victory. Faith brings God's blessings. Faith allows God to use us. And faith allows God to bless us like He wants to bless us. Thank God for the little lad. Thank God for having... Don't you know those guys that are carrying the baskets back, they're a little red face too? Andrew's like, I knew I should have just said, here's the food. Why did I have to... Nathan's like... Nathan's probably facepalm. Why didn't I just say, Lord, You could do it? Faith is the victory.